Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December 2nd, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnahy. Today, we have author and missionary Sarah Michalski. She spoke at Touchpoint Alaskan Ministries on Saturday, Harbor Light on Sunday, and has been sharing her experiences with supernatural powers by way of her faith. We don't have enough staff at the moment to answer phone calls, so we apologize if you wanted to call in and ask a question or make a comment. Sarah, thank you for coming in. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Colette. Oh. This is a privilege to be here on your talk show.
Thank you. We are excited, and I'm excited to hear your stories.
Thank you.
So, you were born in North China,
and
you lived there for 9 years, and then you were sponsored in Australia.
Yes.
And when you were 12, you moved to the U.S., and now you live just near Seattle.
I do. And so I just want to just say that my parents, though, they were born in Ukraine, and they were Russian, Jewish, Ukrainian. And so anyway, they fled from Russia, Ukraine. Should I tell them about God speaking to them to leave, or?
Yes. Yes. Well, we were going to talk about it.
Yes.
But let's just jump right in there.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. Well, it was in the 1930s, 1933. It was a missionary from New York, and he was supposed to go to Turkey. Well, his ship landed, because of the storm, landed in Odessa, Ukraine. And so he began to, you know, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people throughout Ukraine. And my parents, my dad was in one village and my mom a completely different village. Anyway, they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, at that time, there were many, many. They said that through that one missionary, he was shipped off to Siberia later, and the government, you know, killed him. Stalin killed him. But anyway, through his missionary work, over 40,000 people were affected, and that came to know Jesus Christ, you know, from this one missionary alone. And my parents and many other Russian and Ukrainians, you know, came to know Christ through him. But anyway, God began to speak to them, saying, I want you to, like, to my dad and his family, his dad and mom, I mean, they were Jewish, and God first, you know, my dad got saved, and then my uncle, you know, and my grandpa's dad's side, you know, he got saved. And God began to speak, saying, leave this place, you know, and he kept telling his brother, you know, hey, we've got to leave. There's coming a war. There's coming starvation. And he said he saw, like, even in a dream, he saw, you know, just fire. And just, you know, fire just being lit all over harvest fields. And he said, and then, you know, and God said, there's coming a famine, there's coming starvation, and I want to deliver you. I want to spare you. And so these people began to leave by, you know, wagons, and they started to go up north. And the same thing God was speaking throughout many, many of those villages and cities, you know, for people, you know, to get out of, you know, Russia. And then when they were coming into the northern part of Russia, they were in this one village before they came to a city called Jharkhand, where most of these Russians, God brought them, you know, and then from Jharkhand, it was near the Chinese border, you know, but there was this one city, one village, should I say, that the group of the believers were about 100 of them, my dad and his group. And my dad was 8 years of age at that time. And anyway, they would, at that time, they were rationed food, you know, and they had a voucher to get, you know, bread and, you know, with their ration, with their voucher, you know. And so anyway, there were several ladies from this group, and they said, let's go get our ration, you know, of bread. Well, as they were standing in line, all of a sudden it came to be their turn, and all of a sudden they just, you know, and the person, you know, asking for their names, they, you know, was blotted out, and they could not remember their names. I mean, I mean, how often does a person forget his or her name, you know? And they could not remember each one of the letters. Instead of saying, oh, you know, Katya, your name is Katya, you know? And their names were just blotted from their mind. And finally, the man behind me, he said, you know, silly woman, get out of here. Well, as they were coming back, you know, to the group where they were at, God spoke and said, I've spared your lives and I've spared this group, because the man behind them was a communist agent, and he was sent to look for the name that those ladies had, the last name, Shevchenko. And so he was looking for, you know, where that group was at. And so here God spared the whole group from being arrested, from being taken, you know, into prison. So, you know, and so anyway, that was just one of the experiences that, you know, and so they came to, you know, finally to that other little city, the town, you know, called Jharkhand. And then from there, they came into China. And my dad, his group came first, and then my mom and other groups started coming later on into the same city in China called Kulja. Now it's called Yining. Anyway, they lived there for 25 years, and I was born in Kulja in Yining.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway.
Kulja. Oh,
okay.
Wow. Okay. And so how did your speaking engagement go on Saturday and on Sunday?
That went really well, because I love sharing about what, you know, God has been doing, especially in Ukraine and in Russia. And I love sharing about our experiences that we've had, you know, as Bible smugglers into Russia. And so my husband and I, and I just want to share, when I came to the United States, I was 12 years of age, and my mother, she made us speak the Russian language. And when she made us speak the Russian language, I was upset at her for making us speak Russian. I said, you know, I'm an American. I don't need to speak the Russian language. She said, there will come a time that this language will be beneficial and helpful to you. And she said, you know, you're going to work amongst the Slavic people. Well, Slavic people are, you know, Russian, Ukrainians, you know, Polish. And so anyway, I thought, oh, it's just a nationalistic, you know, and I thought, no, you know, and she just felt, and she said, God had spoken to their heart saying that I will be working one day amongst the Slavic people. Well, lo and behold, we were living at that time in California, San Francisco. And 5 years later, we moved to Seattle, Washington, and we're going to the church that Richard, my husband who passed away 8 years ago. But anyway, you know, I began to court with him. And at first I thought, you know, he came to my parents and he said, I'd love to court your daughter. And he was 5 years older. And, you know, when you're 18, I mean, it seems like, you know, 17, 18, it's like a big number, but that's not a big difference. So anyway, I finally began to court with him. And then he and I got married. And 7 days after we were married, and he was already, he and his parents, they were involved in ministering in the communist countries. They had gone to Poland. They had gone to, you know, other communist nations. And I was afraid to marry somebody, you know, because I knew he was a missionary working in those nations. And so I was afraid because of what I saw under communism in China. You know, I saw some of the harassment, some of the hardships and persecution. And so I was afraid to marry somebody. But anyway, I got married, and God began to show me to trust God, to trust and believe, you know, in Him, not to look at the challenge that we're in, not to look at even the conflict, but to look and to depend and put our faith in Jesus Christ.
So your family that you grew up with, nobody was a missionary. You became a missionary when you were 19.
Yes.
With your husband, because his family were missionaries.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And what was the first country you went to?
Well, the first country we flew, on our wedding day, the Russian culture, they provide a meal. And so, I mean, they give a meal. And so on our wedding reception, We were expecting about 350 people. Well, a lot more showed up. And so my father-in-law, father-in-law and mom-in-law, they went and got Kentucky Fried Chicken to appease, you know, the rest of the people. So anyway, but on that in that reception, they took my shoe and they passed it around as an offering, to put an offering, you know, for people to donate. And they knew we were, you know, we had applied for visas to go to Russia. And that was a miracle, because when you apply for visas, and Richard, he had asked me, he told me, he said, you know, I'm applying for visas to go to Russia. And I kept telling him, I said, well, you know what, wait, I was going to go to college for 4 years. I said, wait until I'm after, you know, after I'm done college, then I'll marry you. He said, nope, I don't have time to do that. He said, we got to get married this year. So I finally said, okay, we'll get married. And but I thought, okay, applying for visas, you had to pay $100 per person per day. And then you had to pay for the stay for the hotels. And they organized, you know, what hotel that you had to stay in. You couldn't just choose, and you couldn't stay with people. You had to stay in the assigned hotels. So that was had to be prepaid. So I thought, there's just no way my husband would afford that much money to, you know, for both of us. And he was planning to go for 2 months. And so I thought, it will take a long time. Anyway, and I put a fleece before God. And I said, okay, God, if it's your will for me to marry Richard, then, you know, you meet this need of, you know, supplying for the visas, for the vouchers. And I said, okay, God, I'll give 1 month as a fleece. And so 2 weeks went by, and he said, honey, you won't believe what happened. I said, what? He goes, I received a check from somebody that he did not know, and it was for the exact amount that he had to go pay for the visas, the vouchers, for the hotels, for the whole stay in Russia to the consulate. And so I thought, okay, God, you're working too fast. So anyway, so we got married, and then we flew to Germany, and we had a one-way ticket. In that offering at the reception, we had enough funds for one-way ticket. So anyway, we flew to Germany, and we got, and his grandparents lived in, Richard's grandparents lived in Germany. And so we, you know, flew there, and we actually bought this car for $100, an Audi. And then months later, we sold it back to that dealer for $100. So we actually had it for free. But anyway, we come to the, and I told my husband, I said, okay, honey, I know you are caught taking Bibles into Russia. The first time, they'll just deport you, kick you out. But if it's your second time, and he had been already taken, you know, the Bibles, and I said, you know, just take your personal Bible. And I knew you could take a personal Bible. So as we come to the border, he goes, now, don't pack my suitcase. I'll be packing my suitcase. And I thought, okay, you know, he'll just, so anyway, when we came to the border, they asked us to, you know, get the suitcases out. And, you know, on the bench there, they, you know, these guards, and Richard said, now, honey, whatever you do, do not speak Russian. Because he said, an American speaking Russian right away is under suspicion of being a spy. Hmm. So I said, okay. So anyway, they opened my suitcase and they closed it. And then they came across his suitcase, and his suitcase was bulging. And then the guard opened his suitcase, and it was nothing but Bibles. And it just went bing, you know, and my eyes almost went bing, you know, wide open. And I see these Bibles just flying out of the suitcase. And I just said in the Russian language, "Что это?" You know, what is this? You know, and he was going, you know, trying to, you know, cover the Russian, you know, and so anyway, then the guards, they said, you know, they looked, and then they started speaking in the Russian language amongst themselves, not knowing that I spoke the Russian language, and so they began to say, "Okay, you go sit down on the bench over there, and don't interfere." Well, as they're arguing, one guard says, we must imprison them for these Bibles. And they called it anti-Soviet propaganda. And so they said, they must go into prison for 3 years. And another guard, he goes, no, they'll need to go for 5 years. Well, the superior officer came, And he said, no, they must be in prison for 7 years for this anti-Soviet propaganda. And so they're arguing amongst each other how many years they should put us in to prison. And I'm just 19 years of age, 7 days after we were married. And as we're sitting there, I remember, and the guards are arguing for 8 hours. And during that time, I remember God just, you know, began to speak to my heart quietly. And as the Holy Spirit was speaking quietly, saying, are you willing to follow Jesus Christ, even if it costs you something, even if it costs you, you know, if it's a risk of your life? And I thought, well, God, I'm willing to follow you, you know, but I thought, and God kept saying, are you willing to follow me, even if it means imprisonment? And that's when I kept saying, oh, I'm willing to follow you, but I don't want to go into prison. And I kept, you know, rationalizing and justifying. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, even if it means in prison, but make me strong in my faith so that I will not deny my faith in Christ, you know. And I said, okay, God, just make me strong in you, you know. And when I surrendered my will to God's will, all of a sudden, the superior officer found our wedding license, and he looks at it and he goes, oh, they've just been married 7 days, and this is their wedding license. Well, in those years, the Bible was very, very, very cherishable, very, you know, dear, very precious and expensive. And so the Bible ratio in those years was one Bible to 10,000 Christians. And so anyway, so it was a really rare, rare commodity, you know, rare, you know. So anyway, and they said, oh, and because they had the black market, you know, the flea markets. And so sometimes people found a Bible that was being sold on the black market, but it was sold for sometimes hundreds of dollars just for one Bible. So the guards, they said, oh, these must be their wedding gifts. And so they told us to be quiet, you know, and so we, you know, didn't say anything. We're sitting there. The only thing I said to Richard, I said, honey, I knew I should not have married you. I said, just the thing that, you know, I was afraid of being in prison, you know, is coming upon me. And he just took my hand and began to pray quietly, you know. And then the superior officer, he said, these must be their wedding gifts. And if we take the wedding gifts, what will they tell the American public? So they packed all the Bibles into the suitcase. And that was our first trip.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what year was that?
That was in 1971.
1971. A lot of questions, yes. Like, through this, but, okay, and I have forgotten most of my questions, which is fine, but, yeah, so how, you were in Russia,
yes,
that time for,
yeah,
months.
Yes,
then.
Yes, yeah.
And how was that experience after?
Well, you know what, we never took addresses or names of Christians. And so we literally relied on the supernatural, you know, an intervention and leading of the Holy Spirit to lead us to the believers. And so we would, you know, be walking down the street and didn't know, you know, where a Christian lived Bibles to. But, you know, God would just speak to our heart and say, you know, go to the right or go to the left, go over here, go to this alley. And we'd go there. And as we would obey that still small voice that would speak to us. And so we would go. And all of a sudden, that's how we met believer after believer after believer. And that's how we were able to give the Bibles to those people. But one of the, I mean, and we would go in and out of Russia many, many times, probably before communism fell, I would say over 200 times, you know, different borders, different crossings. And God would literally blind the guard's eyes many times as we would be bringing. We never hid the Bibles, you know, and although the government said, you know, you cannot bring the Bibles, but there was nothing in their constitution or their laws that said, you know, that forbade you from, you know, that it was illegal, but verbally, that's what they would say. And so as we would bring the Bibles, we, like I said, we never hid them, but we would just pack our cars with the Bibles. We would, and I mean, they would be from the floor to the ceiling. And I remember this one time, and I'll just share this little you know, I know our time is coming to an end. But anyway, but before I share that little story, we do have books. And one of my husband and I wrote books. One is called Tears of Triumph. And that is, you know, we share our personal, many stories of Bible smuggling. And then the other one is Fire by Night. And that shares how the many different miracles that transpired, how God led my parents out of Russia into China. And just one little illustration, they were in the desert in on the way to China. They got lost. And, you know, and while they were there in the wilderness, in the desert, God said, you know, start digging and I'll give you water. They were, you know, just exhausted, dying. And they, you know, one of the believers, men, he began to dig in that sand and he came across and a spring sprung out. Cold, clear, crystal water. They drank, and then when they drank enough, there were, you know, many, many people, believers in this group, and when they had enough, that water turned back into sand. And so they, anyway, many of those miracles, you know, stories are in Fire by Night. And then my husband, he wrote a funny one called Communist Comedy Relief, and it's a kind of a joking, a funny one, and it shares how the communists try to, you know, disprove the existence of God, and it backfired on them. And so, you know, and they couldn't. But anyway, one of those times that we were going into Russia with the Bibles, and like I said, we did not, you know, hide the Bibles. We just believed God to, you know, to intervene supernaturally and protect the word and to direct us. And so this one time, as we were coming into Russia, and as we, just before coming into Russia, God showed a dream or vision to this lady. And this lady, she said, you know, I saw a vision that you guys were taking Bibles, and a whole load of Bibles, and that those Bibles were being confiscated from you. And she said, and she saw a hand with a nail print in it that took the Bibles and distributed them to the greatest needs. And so she said, and those Bibles were confiscated from you for a purpose, for a reason. And she said, where, you know, you would have never been able to go, God's hand, you know, took those Bibles, and he had his vessels, you know, take the Bibles to those needs. So anyway, here we come into Poland just before going into Russia. And this couple, they said, oh, praise God. They said, how many Bibles are you taking into Russia this time? And we said, well, we're just taking our personal Bibles. And they said, you know, you'll be sinning. And we said, why will we be sinning? And they said, you will be sinning, you know. And we said, why? And they said, well, you know, the Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And they said, you know, it's good to take Bibles for people that are in need, that are desperate, that are hungry, to have a Bible. And so we said, okay, we'll take a few, you know. Well, they said, we'll load your car. Well, they said, we'll put a few in. Well, a few according to their statistics and ours, numbers are too different. In the morning, we got up and our car was almost doing a wheelie, you know, and I looked at my husband, I go, oh, you know, and he said, it's okay. You know, he just took my hand and he said, we'll just trust God. So anyway, we come to the border and the guards there, you know, they're checking through the whole vehicle and they had the special instrument and they're poking at the Bibles. And we had seen that happen many times before and they would not see the Bibles. And so here they're poking at the Bibles, poking once, twice, then the third time they come again and they're shoving them. And it was like God had blinded their eyes. And so the third time, all of a sudden, the guard, he looks and he shakes his head. He goes, oh, he goes, Svetaya Biblia, Holy Bible? I said, yes, that's the Holy Bible. And he throws it on the ground. I said, oh, that must be the powerful word of God. And so he just grabbed me by the arm and he goes, you come with me. And another guard took my husband and we were sentenced to 10 years in prison. Not for, you know, they did not say for the Bibles, but they accused us for espionage. I said, do you consider the Bible as espionage? And they wouldn't, you know, say that. So anyway, I was taken into a prison cell. And while in that, and Richard was taken to another one. And in the prison cell, my guard was a big, big, burly guy, about 350 pounds. And he would pick me up and he would bash me against the cement wall in that cell, in that prison cell. And normally I would have pain, but I did not feel any pain. And I knew that God was defending me, that God was protecting and, you know, was doing a supernatural power, you know, of divine intervention of, you know, protecting my head and my body from being, you know, hurt and wounded. And so anyway, one day this guard, he came and I thought, okay, he's going to bash me again. And he came and he said, I don't believe in God. I said, oh, but deep down inside of you, you know there's a God. And I said, you know, there will come a judgment day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said, and you'll be bowing at that judgment day. But I said, God is speaking to your heart to believe in him, to believe in Christ. And he said, well, when I see him up there, I'm going to wring Christ's neck. I said, no, you won't get a chance to. And so anyway, then he took his fist and he began to swing it at my face. And I knew, and he had two other guards with him. And as he began to swing his fist, all of a sudden, just the words that just came out of my mouth. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. And his arm went just before my face and it stopped and it went paralyzed. And he opened his mouth and nothing came out. And I said, you see, my God, he is my defense. I said, Jesus is real. And I said, and he's the one that has defended me. And I said, but I'm going to pray. And I spoke, you know, about, you know, just the reality of Jesus Christ, you know. And so anyway, I said, I'm going to pray that God will reveal himself, that he is real by, you know, restoring the mobility of speech and your hand back to its normal condition. And I prayed real quickly and his hand drops to its normal condition and he began to speak. Well, they released us and they had this kangaroo court hearing and they said, well, we will decide which prison to. Well, at that kangaroo court hearing, they said, the judge, he said, I don't know why I feel lenient towards your case, but you're free to go.
Wow.
And they released us. Well, 2 years later, we come to that same border. I mean, we had gone through other borders, but this time we were loaded in a truck with Bibles, not a car, but a truck full of Bibles. And I said to my hubby, I said, honey, this is the same border we were arrested for 10 years. He goes, it's okay. God has his plan, his purpose, and his way. We come to that border, and who do we meet but my interrogator? And he said, you know, he said, I was going to burn all the Bibles, but he said, instead, I opened it and began to read. And he said, and God just convicted me that I am a sinner and I need to find Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, I took all those Bibles and I went to my mother, who he was taken away from his parents as when he was just a little boy and had not seen his mother for almost 30 years. His father was in prison and was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And so he was trained in an atheistic home. And so here he went back to visit his mother and he took all those Bibles. That vision, that dream, I thought, wow, God, you know, it was your hand that took it and used this man. And he said, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. He said, and I will be your courier. And he said, I've got my schedule. Anytime you want to bring as many Bibles as you want, he said, I will help you bring. So we brought over millions of Bibles into Russia. Wow. So we don't have to smuggle Bibles, but we still provide buying Bibles in Ukraine for people in devastated regions and, you know, get the Bibles to those areas too. So.
Yeah. And from what you told me before, you have been going to the Ukraine.
Yes.
For many, many years.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
We have just a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
Is there anything else like that you want to share with us about that?
Yeah. Well, we have been taking relief aid and I just want to share, anybody that wants to receive, you know, the books, obtain the books, if you can go to Impact, like IMPACT Ministries, MINISTRIES, global.com. That's our website, Impact Ministries global.com, and Impact Ministries. And you go to, and it will show with Michalski's, and you can obtain the books from our ministry. It's a nonprofit organization. Or we have some sets at Harbor Light Church here, and their phone number is 907 877-874-2244. But I just want to end with this. In Ukraine, we've been taken. Is my time off?
Oh, no, no. Okay. Go for it. Yeah, I was just.
Anyway, so in Ukraine, we've been supplying with relief aid and as well as buying Bibles in Ukraine and distributing to the people within that country. Well, anyway, just last year, a commander of the military, of the Ukrainian commander, he asked us if we would provide Bibles to each one of the platoons, his platoons. And so inside of Ukraine, they were having teams and they were providing the Bibles. And so as they were taking the Bibles to each platoon, they came to this commander's platoon and they were giving them out. And the commander, he refused to accept the Bible. And they said, well, you're the one that asked for the Bibles. He said, well, 3 days prior, he said he received a Bible from, somebody else, another team from our ministry. And he said he went on the front line and a Russian sniper shot him. Mm. And he thought he was dead. He felt the impact on his chest, and he thought, I'm dead. And he did not have a bulletproof vest, and so he thought, okay. And he went under his vest to pull out. He said, okay, there's a Bible there. And he pulled out the Bible. The bullet had gone all the way through the Bible and stopped at the end of the Bible. And so he said, God literally saved him, saved his soul, and saved him literally, physically too. And so he said, that's why I refuse to receive another Bible. So we've been providing, Bibles and relief aid to these people.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming
and
sharing.
Thank you, Colette, for having me. It's been a privilege. It really is.
Thank you. So. And that was author and missionary Sarah Mahulski. We are going to hop on into World Cafe.